Prayer is a spiritual weapon. Now, the police can lock you up, but they can only deal with the physical. They can put you behind bars. But you're just a thief behind bars. You're still a thief. Your heart is still the same. They locked you up. They put you in detention. They took your keys. They told you you couldn't drive no more. Amen. They locked you behind bars because you were stealing. But they did nothing for the heart. Nothing for the heart. Amen. And this is spiritual warfare. We do something for the heart. The church is the only place dealing with folks' heart. And I'm going to deal with that next week about how, what the spirit does to the heart. Oh, I should have been preaching probably now, but the thing is that this is spiritual warfare. Paul said when you put on all of your equipment, he says, praying always in the spirit with supplication, with thanksgiving. You ought to let your prayer be known unto God. Run it by God to see if it's worthy of his acceptance first. God may not want you to have that. You say, I'm praying for a job. I need a raise. He said, you ain't getting no raise because you don't tithe with what you got now. You're not tithing off of $10. Why am I gonna give you a job so you can disobey me more than you already? I wish I had a witness. I'm not gonna give you more to disobey me with. You don't need that yet. So Lord, I want to work. I was on the internet and I found a job in Nebraska. Well, I want you in Kentucky. I mean, I want you in Nebraska. So I'm not, that wheel ain't going through. Amen. Prayer unanswered. Can't do it. Won't be answering that. You see, we want God. Prayer is not an exercise by which you talk God into doing what you want him to do. You do not know more than him. He's omniscient and you're finite. You're limited and he's unlimited. And so, therefore, why should you be in charge? Why should you order God around? God, do that, do that, do that. I'll see you tomorrow, maybe. No, God said, look. God said, look, I know everything, okay? Let me let you in on something. And I know that if you got that, you're going to do that. So I ain't ready if you'd have that yet because you ain't been to church. You ain't been to church school. You ain't mature enough for it yet. Some stuff you want, you ain't. Have you ever, your kids ever wanted something you wouldn't let them have? And you had it? And if you were immature, you'd give it to them. But you find out over time, not yet. If I give them this now, it'll ruin them. I can't give them that. You can't talk God into doing stuff that you want. You don't know more than God. God knows what you're ready for. And when you're ready, he'll give you what you need. Amen. But you think you need some things he don't think you need. Amen. You call him wants or need. Well, let me get back. The truth of the matter is, he said, what I'm going to do is the Holy Spirit knows what's in the mind of the. Isn't that interesting? When you look at this, what you find out basically is that it says in Romans 8, it says that we have the Holy Spirit. We have in verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves are groaning. Now we got his Spirit in us, and if you go back to verse 27, it says he searches our heart, he connects with our spirit, and he knows what's in the mind of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells God that's what they want. I know what they want, but this is what they intended. If they really my child, I'm interpreting you. I'm interceding for them. I'm taking that prayer and I'm giving you what they really intended to ask for. Because they can't put it into words. Well, he says that, and the Spirit searches the heart, and he knows what the Lord's in the mind of the Spirit. He knows what God is in approval of, and he maketh intercession for the saints. You know what? Not according to your will, but according to the will of God. Do you want what God wants you to have? Do you want what God wants? Amen. That's what, you want one thing, but he intended, he wants you to have this. Well, lest I hold you too long. Amen. What we have to understand here simply is that the Holy Spirit, We think about purpose. That's what prayer is. But look at the participation. Amen. Our participation. The psalmist says, three times a day, evening, morning, and noon will I pray. We ought to have a place of time that we get together alone with God. Amen. And this is a personal prayer, not a public prayer. You know, oftentimes people come to church and they pray personal prayer. But you're not supposed to be doing a lot of personal praying. And you don't supposed to pray about everybody's business at prayer. But me, but the setting calls for, amen, we ought to pray, amen, for the church as and our personal prayers, we should pray in the closet. I wish I had a witness. We don't tell all our business and other folk business. Sometimes you can just listen to that folk prayer and tell everything you want to do. Mm-hmm. What's going on? They'll say everything you hear. Mm-hmm. Talking about somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, we found that out through somebody's prayer. God's supposed to be fine. See, when you're talking to anyone other than God, you're not having a prayer. You're having a conversation. Now, the fact of the matter is, lest I hold you, the truth is that we need evening, day. The Jews started in the evening because, amen, for them, the day started in the evening. God made the earth, and he said the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. The evening and the... So, amen, Monday starts today at 6 o'clock on Sunday. So the evening and the morning, not the morning and the evening. So according to their time, the psalmist said the evening and the morning and at noon. He had him three times a prayer, three times a day, and that's what Daniel did. He prayed three times a day. Amen. I pray. I'm going to cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, Matthew 6:8 says, I mean, some people say, well, you know, why pray? The Lord already knows what you need. Amen. And that's what that scripture says in Matthew 6:8. It says that the Lord knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. You say, why pray? Because of participation. You got to participate in that prayer. Participation is like opening your hand. Amen. It's like opening your hand. Amen. God wants to bless you and give you something, but your part is to open the hand. He's going to put something. He got a whole storehouse of stuff he's going to give you and that he's going to pour upon you, but you got to participate. You can't go around telling God to do things and you won't participate. You got to tell your neighbor, open your hand up. Amen. All he wants you to do is to ask, God, give me. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. But we just want God just go around blessing us without a relationship. God, you just give me everything I want, and I ain't got to do anything. No, you got to participate. Prayer is something you have to participate in. And God says, I'll put it in your hand, but I want you to open it. I'm not asking you to meet your own need. I just want you to open your hand. You don't want to have a relationship with somebody that don't want to talk to you. Somebody just said, look, give me everything I need. Amen. We got some children these days. Amen. They want you to just give them everything they want. Yeah. Amen. Just make sure everything. And then I will never call you. And the older I get, I won't even write you. But God said, no. Amen. I'm going to make you always need me. Right. Have I got a witness? Because, see, life is designed that way where you're going to pray. You're going to get to know him. Because you can't handle life by yourself. When folk get through hurting your feelings and you get through going through changes and misunderstood, you're going to be on your knees. I'm going to cry out. Things I can't do nothing about, I'm going to cry out. Lord, I need you. Help me, Lord Jesus. We got to pray. We got to participate. That is the purpose. But some people want God. Now, the fact of the matter is that we are fighting against demons. And we find out in Daniel 10:20 that Daniel had been praying and delivering the prophecy to Daniel, but Daniel had not received the prophecy. And Daniel he found out that when the angel showed up, amen, he says, Michael told Daniel, I've been trying to get this prayer to you for weeks, but I've been fighting with the prince of Persia. And when I get through fighting that big demon, I'm going to have to go fight the prince of Greece. You see, there are demons in the world. There are national demons. nations that have been taken over. The world is filled with darkness. Don't fool yourself in thinking that we don't need prayer. You say, why do we need to pray? Because of the forces of evil that are in the world. The devil got people down there, just like he got officers and church folk up here fighting for what's right. There are folk down in the state capitol fighting for what's wrong. Overturning laws, taking prayer out of school, degendering the Bible. Marriage is under attack. The school's under attack. People, they took prayer out, and now everybody's shooting up everybody in there. Amen. I wish I had a win. Things that didn't used to go on are going on because the demons are loose. Amen. People committing suicide, jumping off buildings, mass shootings. Folks standing on top of buildings. We got a suicide spirit going on. We got a shooting spirit going on. We got all of these things. They're down there legalizing drugs, gateway drugs, legalizing liquor, legalizing. You say, well, you can't legalize morality. Well, they legalizing sin. Amen. They laying the foundation. We need prayer. Prayer. Amen. We need to fight back. The church, and that's what makes it so sad. The church don't even show up on Wednesday as if we don't have nothing to pray for. The whole world is going. The family's on the attack. You can't find a decent man to lead a family. They're shorted. You can find some. There's a shortage among the foundation of society. The women have taken over, and the men, I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. The 50-50 thing. And I think everybody should have equality. But let me just simply say it this way. Matter of fact, you don't need to hear what I got to say. Just this anti-God movement. Amen. I don't care what you think. It's what did God say. And so Satan is busy trying to overturn. We need to come on Wednesday and open our hands and say, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We are a church on our knees. Our families are under attack. Amen. Marriages are breaking up. Divorce rate and molestation is rampant through the land. People committing suicide, who got all the money they need. Lord, we need you. But the church is the most unattended thing in church is prayer. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Amen. As if we don't have nothing to pray for as a group. I'm not talking about your personal prayer. You can pray those at home. I'm talking about our church on their knees. Oh, I'm not going to even go through all this. Amen. I want to understand that prayer makes the difference. And the things that are going on would not be going on with a church that's on her knees, crying out to God. Amen. A church that's strong. Christians who are strong. Christians who are dependent on God. Oh, your prayer might take a long getting there, but if it's delayed, that don't mean it's denied. Amen. God told Daniel, look, amen. He said, I've been weeks trying to get to you over a prayer you prayed. But people don't understand that there's spiritual warfare. So if I don't believe in spiritual warfare, I'll be sitting here thinking, God don't even answer prayer. God doesn't even respond. Why pray? Did you read Daniel? Where it said that the demons held up the prayer? A national demon. And Michael, the archangel, was duking them out. Amen. He was fighting back. And Daniel was on his knees. You think people just made prayer up? Prayer will give you strength. We're going to talk about Paul next week. And you find out in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, that Paul went blind. And God spoke to Ananias and said, go over there. And the reason why don't you... There's one reason why I want you to go over there. He's praying. Oh, I should have just preached that and left it alone. Amen. Peter. Now, notice what Jesus told Peter. He told Peter, if I didn't misquote it, miswrite it, I do that often. Luke 22:32, I believe. He said, Satan has desire to take you and sift you as wheat. The devil is after you, Peter. But I fixed it. You know how I fixed it, Peter? Oh, I done preached myself happy and then ran out of. He said, I don't know if I got the right verse. He said, I prayed. Oh, Lord, him. Could it be that a lot of folk, you know, would be strong and would not have failed if the church would have been on their knees praying for the members, praying for the marriages, praying to God? Because prayer, you know, one thing prayer does, is it 32 or 31? Thing about 22, Luke 22, 31. The thing about prayer is that prayer keeps you humble. That means you got your head down. Yes. Folk that don't need nothing, I mean, they got their pockets swole. You know, they don't need nothing. They got too much, and they don't pray. But prayer keep you humble. Amen. Prayer keeps you humble. I tell you something else prayer does, and it does two things at once. Prayer keeps you honest. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You can't lie to God. When you talk to God, you got to come. You can't come at him sideways because he's omniscient. You know what? You'd be surprised. Prayer is healthy. It's healthy to pray. That's why our church needs to come together and pray, because it's healthy for the right thing to be said. Because whenever the wrong thing is said and become deceptive, when all you hear is deception or things that's not true, then you bring about confusion. But when you pray a lot, that means there's a lot of honesty. There's a lot of things kept straight. You see, when you talk, you got to talk straight. And so prayer is healthy for a Christian to pray a lot, because that keeps things straight. Because you can't lie when you pray. You got to be telling the truth. Because God said, he's looking at you while you're talking. He said, Lord, do something about Sister So-and-so. He said, I saw you yesterday. You can't talk to God sideways. You better come on with it. In a family that prays together, keep the house honest. Keep the house healthy. It's therapeutic because these honest conversations are flowing. And you don't have a lot of confusion because the truth is being spread. You pray a lot. When you pray a lot, that means you got to talk honest a lot. Prayer will keep you holy. Not only will it keep you humble and honest, it'll keep you holy. It's healthy, but it'll keep you holy. Daniel was a holy man. They said, you know what, we can't catch him stealing them, but you will catch him praying. He said, well, if we're going to catch him, we got to make a law that's going to you can't get Daniel on no criminal, no immoral behavior. He don't do that. But if you make a law talking about you can't pray, you're going to get Daniel every time. Because Daniel's going to open his window. He's going to pray to Jerusalem toward the east. That's where the temple was. That's why Jonah, even in the belly of the fish, was looking, where's the east? Because I know he said, if you pray toward the if my people that are called, that's why they go to the wailing wall and they are rocking and they are groaning in front of that wall. Well, I'm digressing. The truth of the matter is, it will keep you humble, honest, and holy. A praying family, a praying church keeps the lies out. Keep the truth. And then you won't get folk praying so long time. Amen. Because you ain't. Amen. You won't get a lot of vain repetition. Amen. I'm going to close. But the fact of the matter is that when you think about, amen, the children of Israel, they were praying. Amen. I'm skipped over this. But prayer is powerful. I'm going to come back to prayer is powerful, and it, you get encouragement when you pray. I dare you to have a problem. You can try this, but you got to have a problem. When you get a problem, take it to the Lord in prayer. You may be at work, go to the restroom. Go somewhere and find you a closet. Get somewhere by yourself and groan a little bit. Say, Lord, I don't know what these people are doing. I don't know. I can't lie on them. Groan a little bit. Groan on. Amen. Keep just groan and all of a sudden you'll get emboldened. You'll come out with an S on your chest. The Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you're brave as you can be. Amen. You stand on the truth. Prayer will give you get encouragement. You get courage. And you're able to stand. You get enlightenment. Amen. Thing that you don't know about. Amen. You can't figure out. God will help you and show you what to do as you go. The Bible says, order my steps. Amen. Amen. He doesn't order your miles. He order your steps. One day at a time is what he gives you. You trying to figure out the problem at the end? Don't worry about that. Take one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. Because if I get a week's worth, I may not come back. So I'm going to give you one. Now I may give you some more on Saturday, the last 2 days, but that's up to me to do that. I got it like that. I can. They had manna in the ark, and they had the Aaron's rod that budded, and they had the Ten Commandments, and they had a jar of manna. Now, how did the manna last that long? Because God said so. It was supernatural, miraculously kept. Manna spoiled right away. And they had some that they carried for years. Miraculously sustained by God. Miracles. God can do what he does, what he wants to do. Amen. If it's in his will. Problem is, a lot of stuff we want ain't in his will. And it fizzes out. Man, it's like it doesn't last. Well, he enables you. You don't think you can make it. And you pray. Have you ever went through something that you didn't think? You said, I didn't even know I was this strong. I didn't think I could handle that. Here I am walking, man, with my chest out. Amen. I didn't think I could handle this. God, you get emboldened. You don't know where it came from. You have endurance. Amen, amen. And we done got through that. So you won't go the long haul. But God, through prayer, will make you strong. I'm finna get on out of here. The truth is that, you know, Israel was down there. Amen. I'm not through, but we're going to have to quit. Israel was down there, and they had been down there for 400 years. Amen, I believe it was. And they were down there in Egypt, and they've been groaning. And they'd been groaning and groaning and groaning. And the Bible says that God heard their groaning. Now, when God heard it, he remembered. And it's not that he didn't know. But what you got to understand is that they needed to open their hand. God wants you to, but he don't want you to get away from him. He's going to keep you close to him. This is a relationship. This is not a religion where you say, this is what you do and you're a Christian. No, God said, I want a day-to-day relationship with you. And the way life is designed, you will be back. Right. Have we got a witness? And you can slam the door and think you ain't coming back, but you'll need me before I need you. Something gonna send you back. Something gonna make you bow. Something gonna make you realize that nobody else can do this but God. The Bible said God remembered. What did he remember? Well, he remembered with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had made a promise, a covenant with them. And they groaned and groaned and groaned, and God remembered. He said, I told Abraham that I was going to bless him and bring him out. I told Isaac I was going to be with him. And the next thing you know, God in Exodus chapter 3, the very next chapter, verse 4, I believe was. Next thing you know, God said, Moses, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. And they prayed and moaned, and they prayed and groaned and groaned and groaned. And I have heard their groan. And my answer to prayer is, I'm sending you. You see, prayer moves God to action. Yes, it does. It moves him to action. He said, I done heard their groaning. And then he said, next thing I know, I'm calling Moses. And he said, I'm going to talk about this next week, too. He said, Moses, Moses. He called him twice for emphasis. He wanted his undivided attention. God does that, you know. He'll call you twice. Have we got a witness? Yeah, we're going to talk about them people he called twice. He called Martha twice. Martha was, amen, Mary was, Jesus came over to the house, and she was just doing all this. And Martha said, you need to make her help me. He said, Martha, Martha. He said, Moses, Moses, I have heard the groaning of my people, and they have moved me to action, and I'm sending you. The next thing you know, they will leave in Egypt. Tell your neighbor, prayer works.